Do you think that the vice president needs to be more out there talking to reporters, talking about issues in a give and take, not just in speeches?
I think she should say what I just said in that sentence. She has, should be herself. She should be ready. She should know her power in all of this. And I don't give anybody advice except to be themselves and be ready and know the power of their individuality and their authenticity.
What the hell does that even mean? Nancy Pelosi was asked about Kamala Harris and whether or not she's going to be doing, you know, like interviews and stuff, and if she's going to be taking questions from the press. And do we know what that means? What does that even mean? What did she say? I mean, can I run it through my BS California Marxist filter? I don't know. I don't think it's working this morning. But that's just such a weird answer. And Nancy Pelosi, by the way, and we're going to talk a little bit about this. I feel like some of the Biden staffers, well, I don't feel like, I mean, it's pretty obvious. Some of the Biden staffers are supremely angry at her because they feel that she was, you know, the motivating or the biggest factor that pushed Biden out of office. And so they're upset with her because, you know, here we're in this, well, not we, but they are in this current state of the cycle, and they have, you know, Kamala Harris, not the strongest candidate they could have. And I feel like the Biden people are nursing a grudge against Pelosi for being the person that ultimately pushed out Joe Biden. And because we've talked about that, you know, a little bit going into the switch. And it is, you know, I mean, somebody big had to get him out of the race. And I don't think it was going to be Jill or Hunter, because all of these people were very interested in their own bottom line. I don't think it was any of them. But I mean, there's some of that going around. So it's interesting that now she's like, because she hasn't been really speaking out about Kamala Harris very much, despite the fact that both of them are from San Francisco. So interesting. So welcome to the program. Dana Loesch here with you, and we are at the top of this third hour on Friday, and we've got some Secret Service stuff to get into. We're also going to talk with, coming up, our friend Charles Payne on all of the economic nonsense. We're going to get into all of that. And we also have, let's see, Harris Walls. We also have, we're going to get into that. We got Bread and Circuses 2024. We got a whole bunch of stuff. But first up, So Kamala Harris was asked, they finally asked her a question. She actually made her way, interestingly enough, to the press gathering outside of her jet. And she was talking to members of the media because they were asking her, okay, so when are you gonna answer questions, or are you gonna have a press conference? And I'm scrolling through audio. She finally said that she was going to, but it was gonna be like in a couple of weeks, is when she said that she would actually talk to members of the press. Listen to this, because this doesn't seem to be a satisfactory answer. If you're trying to figure out when the vice presidential candidate's going to be taking questions, listen.
Madam President, there's been a lot of questions about when you're going to sit down for your first interview since being the nominee. Do you have any
updates on that? I've talked to my team. I want us to get an interview scheduled before the end of the month.
Thank you. She hasn't, I mean, it's been 19 days. It's been 19 days. So she said, oh, before the end of the month. So, like, that's in several weeks. I want to remind you, early voting begins in less than 5 weeks in Pennsylvania. Early voting, that's where early voting in some of these states, and in Pennsylvania, it kicks off in under 5 weeks. So she's going to wait and answer questions from the press. She's going to wait that long. That seems a little odd. And speaking of debates and questions, she did commit to a debate with Trump. I think it's the ABC one. She finally agreed to a debate. I think it's one of the, but one of the reporters, I retweeted it yesterday, was like, well, what about the other two? What about, I don't know if we have that. What about the other two? I mean, do we have this audio? I think, I don't know which one this is. It was funny when they were asking. Yeah, listen to this.
Madam Vice President, Donald Trump agreed to 3 debates. Will you be participating in all 3?
I've always been on record. I am looking forward to debating Donald Trump, and we have a date of September 10th. I hear he is finally committed to it. I'm looking forward.
What about the other two?
Let's make sure we get this done.
What about the other two? What about the other two? What about the other two debates, though? And she's like, no, nope, we're not doing any of that. Mm-mm. And just walks away, walks away. It's kind of funny with all of that. But so anyway, that's the latest with the press, that with the questions and the debates and all of this stuff. Now, in the meantime, the Harris campaign has been trying to rehabilitate the Waltz situation. They listen to this. So on their website originally, on Tim, with regard to Tim Walz's bio, they had referred to him as a retired command sergeant major, which he's not. So they very quietly took that away. They erased that off of their website. Fascinating, is it not? They took it off their website. And they've been trying to remove any false claims that they had previously run with. Because he said that he was, by the way, he's been saying this as, 2018, there was actually another reference I found, 2019, where he kept saying that he's a retired command sergeant major, but he's not. He retired as a master sergeant. So he was claiming what one of my veteran friends was saying. He was saying that he was an E9 rank, and he's not. He's an EA rank. That's what a friend of mine was telling me. But the assumption is, well, I guess it doesn't sound as fancy to say that. But he was claiming that there are tweets. There are screenshots of tweets all over where he was saying that he is a retired command sergeant major, said that over and over and over again. And he tweeted it. He said it in speeches. He said it on the campaign trail. He posted it. I mean, these are things that he actually typed and then hit send and put it out there. So he knows that he's not. In fact, Juan's preparing. Juan's got one of them he's going to show you. This was from just 2018. Now, remember how long this has been going down, how long this has been happening. This is 2018. He's saying that, look, he says, as a retired command sergeant major, which he wasn't. He retired as a master sergeant. He was reduced in rank because the moment that he was told that he was going to deploy, he took off. So that's a problem. So anyway, the Harris campaign has been quietly scrubbing all references of this from their website. His original biography called him the son of an Army veteran and retired command sergeant major in the Army National Guard. And then now they call him the son of an Army veteran who served as a command sergeant major. So they went back and they changed it and didn't tell anyone. They won't acknowledge this. This is why, a lot of people are asking me, is this going to make a difference though? I don't think it's going to make a difference with like hardcore Democrats, because you're talking about a party that lionized a guy that let a woman drown in a pond, for crying out loud. It's not going to matter to them, but it's going to matter to the moderates and the independents and a lot of veterans out there. This is decided in the margins, and that's where this is going. So I think with them, it absolutely does matter. Now, in addition to all of this, because they're still trying to deal with these issues. They're still trying to deal with the DUI, which seemed to be less of a problem than the stolen valor. But now all this came out yesterday. Tim Walz repeatedly hosted a Muslim cleric who celebrated October 7th and shared pro-Hitler website links. It just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. So this guy, and this Washington Examiner has the story. This guy, by the way, Walz hosted him at official events. Walz hosted this guy at all kinds of official events. And what's interesting is that the surrogates, people who are defenders of Walz Harris, they're saying, well, to be clear, he didn't host him after October 7th. Are you kidding me? I mean, at least 5 times as the governor of Minnesota, he hosted this guy who celebrated the October 7th attack. He promoted a film, well-known neo-Nazi film, apparently. And this guy was there. He knows Tim Walz. He hosted him. The guy's name, the imam's name, is Asad Zaman. He is of the Muslim American Society of Minnesota. He met with and talked with Walz on May 23rd. He was there with the governor speaking at events in May 2020. I mean, this guy, by the way, delivered the invocation before Tim Walz addressed the state in 2019. This is crazy. And by the way, Walz hosted an event where he was like the keynote. He was the headline guest for Ramadan. And that's all over social media. And this guy shared all kinds of stuff from Hamas. He celebrated October 7th. It's on social media, so I mean, there's no way anybody can spin it unless, you know, they're saying it was, he came back around and said, psych, just kidding. The language that he uses on social media is really bad. He had a lot of, I mean, when I say anti-Semitic, when you're actually trashing Jewish people for being Jewish, that's pretty anti-Semitic. That's not like just disagreeing with Netanyahu, right? So that's this guy. He linked to a website that was all about it's a neo-Nazi pro-Hitler film called The Greatest Story Never Told. It was released in 2013, apparently. And that's among other things that he shared. Some of the stuff that it's crazy. He had like Hitler imagery, like literally like Hitler silhouette and all the stuff that he shared on his social media pages. It's bad. It's bad. This is bad. And Tim Walz hosted him a million times, gave the invocation for Walz before Walz addressed the state. So when the left calls the right Nazis, I'm just wondering if they include the time that Tim Walz literally entertains a Nazi, an Islamofascist Nazi in the governor's mansion repeatedly and elevates this guy into giving the invocation before his address to the state, because that's where we're at. This is wild. I mean, what else is this guy going to have in his closet? This is crazy. You know, who was it? Eric Holder was supposed to be partly responsible for the vetting for some of this.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Some of Obama's people. It kind of makes me wonder, you know. Did they set her up to sabotage her? Because she's one of those people, and it's really weird. She's one of those weird people that have all this ambition, but no work ethic. Like, they don't want to do the work to get the glory, kind of like the Eric Greitens did out of Missouri. Like, they don't want to do the work. They want the title and they want the glory, but without the hard work that goes into it. And I have always been amazed at how people can function like that. She's one of them. I mean, it's like, tit for tat with her. And she's been, how she's been able to come up in the ranks is kind of wild to me. But it makes me, you know, this is evident that she doesn't go into vetting anybody herself. She doesn't put that work in herself. So she lets other people do it. So if she's letting other people do it, they can destroy her, exploiting her laziness. It's wild. Well, I got a lot more for you, including coming up. There's a piece over at Substack that you need to check out. We're going to talk about it. The Trump assassination attempt, new body cam video footage is crazy. I was watching this yesterday, and then there's all this radio conversation from law enforcement that are angry because apparently they were telling Secret Service earlier in the week that they got to post somebody up on that roof. And Secret Service didn't do it. It is wild. Wait until you see this. And we got Charles Payne, who's going to be coming up as well. Hillsdale College, founded in 1844. It's a small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan. They're all about the pursuit of truth and defense of liberty. And you don't have to live, you know, in southern Michigan to take advantage of what they have to offer. So if you are into history and you like historical documentaries, things like that, which I love, you're really going to like this production that they have on their website. It's at Dana4Hillsdale.com. And it is a portrayal of Thomas Jefferson as he reflects upon the meaning of the Declaration of Independence. And it's taken directly from a letter that he wrote to a friend late in his life. And it's not just about, you know, the declaration as it was created, but its applications for the future. And it's just a very interesting perspective, one that's based on historical fact. And I invite you to visit Dana4Hillsdale.com to see that video for free. And then while you're there, you'll get a free commemorative copy of the Declaration from Independence from my friends at Hillsdale. So type in Dana4Hillsdale.com. Check out this. It's a very awesome deep dive. Again, it's Jefferson later in his life reflecting on the Declaration. And you can get a free commemorative copy of the Declaration from Hillsdale. That's Dana4, FORHillsdale.com.
and now. All of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Kane, I need you to pay very close attention to this headline. A man was killed by a probiotic supplement that triggered a massive infection, which caused his gut to die.
What?
It's this elderly Japanese man.
Yeah.
He apparently they found that he had he had some other concerning health problems, but they said that he and maybe alcoholism, but they also said that. And he was a smoker. But they also said that he took tons of probiotics.
Did you leave anything else?
And
out?
It made him develop the runs, if you get my drift. Okay. And and then he died. He died because they killed him. The probiotics.
Doesn't sound like probiotics did it.
I'm just saying, you know.
Doesn't sound like it, though.
Let's see this. Okay. I feel like a cat lady came up with this. Blasting glitter into Mars's atmosphere could make it more habitable, say scientists. Pumping engineered particles similar in size to commercially available glitter and made of iron and aluminum, or if you're British, aluminium, into the atmosphere that could help heat up Mars, according to... Does Mars need help heating up? I thought it was like a hot red planet anyway. Maybe... Okay, never mind. No, wait. No, that's Mercury. So they said one-third of Mars's surface is water. Yeah, I'm sure. Let's go ahead and just pump some glitter in there. That'll do it. That'll do the job. Great, great deal, science. Great job. The Museum of Ice Cream. This sounds like a bad idea. A visitor was left with permanent injuries. It was their sprinkle pool, and apparently somebody jumped in and hurt themselves. Because, why would you do that? Charles Payne's up next. Stick with us. Kel-Tec, great company, Florida-born and bred. And their P-15, I don't know if you are familiar with it. It's an awesome 9mm striker fire pistol. It comes in polymer and metal. The metal frame version has the awesome wood paneled texture grips. I mean, I like the polymer one too, but the wood paneled grips that they got on the metal frame is just so James Bond. I mean, it's like the wood that you would see inside of Rolls. It's fancy. It's a fancy 9mm. It's the P-15 from Kel-Tec. And it's a fully adjustable fiber optic 2-dot rear. You have the tritium fiber optic front sight, striker fire reliability, great trigger pull. It's compact. I mean, it's from the people who literally invented the micro compact pistol category. And they just continue their mission at Kel-Tec of a game-changing innovation and performance with this new P-15. Concealable, dependable firepower. Everything quality made right here in the U.S. of A. So check out KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Take the P-15 to the range. Try it today. KeltecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Not able to catch the full Dana Show? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
We believe in a future where we lower the cost of living for America's families so that they have a chance not just to get by, but to get ahead. Because while our economy is doing well by many measures, prices for everyday things like groceries are still too high. You know it and I know it. You know, when I was Attorney General, I went after price-fixing schemes. And when I am president, it will be a day one priority to fight to bring down prices. I will take on big corporations that engage in illegal price gouging.
So my first thought was, I mean, what are you doing now? You're the vice president of the United States. You preside over the Senate. Like, what are you doing now? That was my first thought. And my second thought was, you know, the issue isn't that the government doesn't do enough. It is that the government does too much. And, you know, her talking about price gouging, it just takes me back to big supermarket, right? Big grocery. Something that Joe Biden had said, oh, it's big supermarket, you know, or big milk or big corn or big something. Everything's always big, but government. I love that they have such a wild perspective, but I don't love what it puts us through. Joining us now on this, and of course, this is none of the economy. One day we're going to have Charles on the show, and it's going to be all great news. Charles Payne, host of Making Money with Charles Payne, weekdays, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern on Fox Business. He is my favorite person about money on the TV, and he's now joining us on the phone. Charles, always love talking to you, my friend. I just wanted to get your response to that. I mean, she's the vice president of the United States. That's not an entirely powerless position.
No, it's not. It's just, oh, my God. Dan, I don't even know where to begin with these people. the deflection, the finger pointing, the blame, the buck has never stopped with them. It just never stops with them. There's no introspection. You know, I mean, you were just talking about quote unquote big supermarkets, right? So the biggest pure supermarket out there is Kroger. You know, you can argue Walmart sells more food, but they sell a bunch of stuff. So yeah. Kroger reported their earnings for the first quarter of this year. You know what their operating profit was? 2.9%. 2.9%. Down from 3.3% a year ago.
Wow.
2.9%. Is that the definition of price gouging? You want to go after them?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, and I get their system. Like they have, you know, they're able to turn over goods and all that stuff. And Walmart's figured out, and Kroger really, they figured out the secret sauce to that. But when I hear Kamala Harris and others talk about this, I just get the idea that they don't understand what everyday families are trying to do by stretching that dollar, because the government's just not going to stop spending money. And when, you know, I hear Biden talk about, well, we're going to spend this and that, we're going to have free this and that, free college, free this, and, you know, Kamala Harris continuing it. I looked at, you know, what the jobs report said last week, Charles. I was looking at the market dive. I don't think that we can withstand that for another 40 years.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I think the most important thing that your audience needs to know is that Biden, Harris, they are the authors of this inflation battle. They created this.
Yeah.
And they keep stoking it. The $1.9 trillion COVID aid, that was ridiculous. We did not need that. The $1 trillion Inflation Reduction Act, it does not reduce inflation. All of this money, you know, we're given, you saw last week, Micron. We gave them $8.5 billion in taxpayer money. You know what they gave us in return? They're going to lay off 15,000 people.
It's yay. Like,
it's
what
insane.
A trade.
It's insane. I mean, I just talked about Kroger, right? Kroger has 420,000 employees. Do you really want to hurt Kroger? Because you're only hurting Americans. It's just, and this is one thing I keep saying to everyone. None of this has anything to do with economics. And we have to put that into perspective. That's why it's so illogical. They try to wrap it.
Are we going to see a rate cut from the Fed, you think, when talking about this? I didn't mean to interrupt
September,
you, but because I've been hearing this like for what, a year?
Yeah, I know. The Fed to me has really made a huge. They botched this so badly, the Jay Powell Fed. You know, of course, they botched it from the very beginning when they were fighting inflation. Their first rate hike was only 25 basis points. It should have been like 75 basis points, right? It was an emergency. In an emergency, you do emergency things. Well, remember, they thought inflation was transitory. And I think they're making the same sort of mistake here. And the big problem is they keep looking at the economy as the aggregate. They keep saying, when they say the consumer is strong, nothing pisses me off than that. I mean, the consumer is not strong. You know, you add 10 middle-income households with one billionaire, and you crunch the numbers, and you say, well, look at the average. Right? No, that's not how it works in real life. In real life, the consumer is crushed. It's getting hammered. Credit cards keep going up. Delinquencies are going through the roof. We're at 23% interest. We're getting absolutely annihilated. You know, the mortgage report that came out, it comes out weekly, the mortgage applications, and they tried to put a happy face on that. Oh, it's up huge. No, there's two parts of it, refis and purchasing a home. Only 1% move in purchases. People are refinancing their homes. They're getting HELOCs to pay their bills.
Ooh. Talking with our good friend Charles Payne. I want to switch it up and ask you about the VP pick, because I don't want to sound mean, but it's weird that this guy, to me, he's 60-something years old. He doesn't own any property. He has no stocks. Kanan and my producer were talking about this on break. Like, I mean, even with your retirement and your savings, I mean, you got something. He doesn't have anything like this.
Right.
When he was reporting in before accepting the nomination, that's really unusual to me. I don't think, Charles, I trust anybody that doesn't have any of that.
Right, because what you're essentially saying is you don't trust people that are trusting the things that we're putting our money into.
Right.
And they won't protect it. They won't protect
it.
He has no skin in the game. He has no stocks, bonds, crypto, real estate, index funds, mutual funds, no private equity, no retirement accounts, and he had a house, but he sold it. He has nothing. But what can we – this guy's Bernie Sanders. He vacationed in communist China. He loves communist China. And here's what you need to know. While he was governor of Minnesota, during his governorship, the people who've left the state, Over 4,000 people making $200,000 a year, 6,000 people making $100,000 a year, 1,000 people making $75,000 a year, 2,000 people making $50,000 a year, almost 1,000 people making $25,000. The only people that have moved into that state are earning $25,000 or less. Think about that. All the productive people in that state are leaving. That's all you need to know. They're running. They're fleeing this guy, and we should actually have a national policy that he does not believe. Kamala Harris and this guy, Tim Walz, do not believe in capitalism. In fact, I think they want to really destroy capitalism in the name. And again, it's not economic. It's ideology for ideological reasons.
That's a really good point that you just said. Talking with our friend Charles Payne, host of Making Money with Charles Payne, which you can watch on Fox Business every day, all weekdays, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. What you just said there, I think, is one of the big ways in which some people may approach arguing this incorrectly, because it's ideology. It's not economics. It's ideology with them. I mean, it is, you know, freedom with your money or no freedom with your money.
They don't like America. They do not. They do not like the Constitution. They still are fighting the wars of yesteryear. They want to fight the wars of slavery, the wars of Jim Crow. They want to go back. It wasn't good enough to tear down all the statues. They want to go back and relitigate our history through policy. And, you know, so ironic when their campaign now is that the Republicans want to take you back, right? No.
Yeah.
You're the one who keeps going backward. You're the one who keeps talking about things that happened 150 years ago. As if they're going to happen tomorrow. You're the one who keeps scaring the hell out of people. Why? There's nothing else you can sell. And think about a nation that picks their leaders based on fear. Every time that's really happened throughout history, the outcome has been devastating.
That is such a great point. Talking with our friend Charles Payne. Charles, I know you got to get ready for your show. I got one more question for you. I always appreciate your time. I always think that Republicans do the best when they're disciplined with messaging. And nobody's better on, you know, talking about the economy and money. I mean, good grief. I mean, Trump was literally on a show about that. I mean, he was, you know, he's on a show about, you know, making boardroom decisions and creating businesses and all this stuff. And when he's real disciplined and on point when talking about the economy, that resonates really well, because you got independents out there that are broke, moderates out there that are broke, Democrats that are taking inventory of what they got. And they're like, well, I don't know, maybe going Republican this time around is the best bet. What do they need to do to really drive that point home? Going into November, because we're 5 weeks, not even, we're less than 5 weeks away from early voting.
So I've got a friend I've known for 45 years. He's always voted Democrat, and he really, really, to your point, is so upset he's going to vote Republican, or he would like to. And he texts me once a day and says, why is Trump saying these things?
Right? Oh, so, boy.
When he gets off message. And yeah, you're right. Trump points out what we all know and feel. I think they need to add a layer of facts on it, because everything he says is going to be shot down or challenged or twisted. For instance, when he says black jobs, you know, they take that and say, oh, he's a racist. No, essentially what he's saying is what a McKinsey report said last year. 45% of black Americans in the private sector work in just three industries, where the average pay is $30,000 a year. The best industry is in transportation, where the highest pay is $70,000 a year. What President Trump needs to say is, how come after giving your vote, your heart, your soul, and all your pain and suffering to Democrats for six decades, this is where half your population is? I want to change that. He just needs to layer in a little bit of facts to push off the don't allow them to change your message. The way he says things, he allows them to interpret it for him and for the public. If he laid it out there just with a little sliver of facts behind it, I think he can reignite the campaign.
Gosh, that needs to be in get into his campaign's ear. Or we just need to send Charles to the White House. I mean, you know, that's also just cut out the middleman and just send, you know, vote Payne, you know, that maybe Payne 2028. I don't know. Charles Payne, I always appreciate you, my friend. You are are literally my favorite money program on TV. I actually make a point to listen to you. So I really enjoy it always. Thank you so much for joining
us. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Of course. Take care. We got more to come, folks, as we wrap up this first hour, and we're going to be rolling right into days of these United States. Sometimes I can't, and I have friends who live and work in parts of the country where they absolutely cannot carry. And so this is where it's good to have other options for those instances, and the Byrna gun is one of those options. It's BYRNA. It's a non-firearm firearm. Doesn't give a rat's backside about your gun-free zone signs. Doesn't care. There's no waiting period, no background check. It's legal in all 50 states. Their most popular model, the Byrna SD, shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. And you can choose different models, different colors. There's different projectiles, everything. And it's always good to have diverse options when the situation may call for one. So to learn more about Byrna, visit Byrna.com/Dana. Get 10% off your purchase. Check out your options at Byrna.com, BYRNA/Dana for 10% off.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
When we invest in clean energy and electric vehicles and reduce population, what? More of our children can breathe clean air and drink clean water.
What is she talking about?
Reducing like, the population.
Yeah, I mean, dems the rules, right? She wants to kill us all. See, if you kill people and reduce their numbers, then they won't have to drink out of dirty puddles. Yeah, they won't have to drink out of the ravine soup in the French Quarter. Big, big difference. I mean, golly, her voice is weird. Her tonality, it's shrill, it's pitched weird, and it always sounds like she's about to choke on it, right? It's like right in the back of her, right in the back of her throat. It's weird. By the way, I saw this, I should say that. Did you see some of the headlines, by the way? Hold up. So there's no other way to put this out here. Sometimes I wonder what these media outlets are doing when they write these headlines. Because Trump apparently was talking about, why are you doing that with your head, Kane? Trump was talking about being in a helicopter that went down with Willie Brown, Mayor Willie Brown. And some people are saying that he's confusing him with Jerry Brown, which, you know, I can see how that's, you know, I can see how one might do that. But San Francisco Chronicle says, quote, Trump says that he went down in a helicopter with Willie Brown. Former San Francisco mayor says it never happened. I just want to point out that the amount of restraint that I am affecting over myself right now to not make the most obvious joke that has ever been out there and available for the taking in political discourse, I should get a Pulitzer for that, Kane.
I want to encourage the self-edit that you do. So I praise this. I commend you.
Because he went down in a helicopter with Willie Brown.
And I'm thankful. I know.
And it's usually not with Willie Brown.
Seriously. Right now, if you stopped like right here, then you wouldn't ever have to worry about going farther.
Yeah, but what's on the other side? What's over there? I see it. Is that grass greener? I don't know.
What do you mean, normal men?
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
But you know what I meant, though. They're in the helicopter. And San Francisco says, you know, Trump says he went down in the helicopter with Willie Brown. The former mayor says it never happened. And he's like, I know that it never happened because it was with me and not. I didn't go anywhere.
You almost.
I didn't.
I know.
I'm still looking at it from across the bridge. What could be? But I'm not going there.
You could have really had a nice distance from it, though.
I did. I have a very nice distance.
I'm not sure.
There are some sweet people out there going, I just don't know what she's talking about. I'm going to go ahead and get my church donation ready. Don't know what she's talking about.
So you're saying Donald Trump said he went down in a
helicopter with Willie Brown.
With Willie Brown, okay.
And Willie Brown's like, it wasn't me because it's never with me. He was apparently talking about Jerry Brown. Yeah. Jerry. It's the incorrect.
Also California.
Yeah, also California. You see how you can make the mistake?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can make the mistakes quite easily. So anyway,
I sent you a picture in Slack. I thought you'd like it.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I was, one of the things I was thinking of, you know, right there. So coming up, the Trump assassination attempt, new body cam video. It's wild. Wait until you hear about this and see it. We're going to play it for you. We're also going to, our friend Brett Thor is going to join us. We got a lot of stuff still on the way this Friday, getting you set up for the weekend. Stick with us, second hour. Gold Co. I mean, seriously, you need to be moving to get you some gold and silver right now. So if you've looked at any of these economic headlines, whoo boy, these are very, very unprecedented times. We got instability around the world. We got a crash in market here at home. And, you know, we got this political mess coming up in November. You need to diversify and protect what you've worked your whole life to build with top-rated company Gold Co. You can visit danalikesgold.com, learn how to get started. They got a complimentary wealth protection kit that's going to arm you with the facts about precious metals. And they'll help people. They've helped people like you and me place over $3.5 billion in gold and silver. They want to make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold and silver. No pressure approach. They got this gold IRA kit that's going to tell you everything you need to know about how all of this works. So visit danalikesgold.com, learn how you can get started today, and you'll also get a complimentary wealth protection kit that's going to arm you with the facts about precious metals. Visit danalikesgold.com.
They're asking me about this waltz from Minnesota. Here's the thing. As Florida governor, I learn a lot about other states because when people leave those states, they tell me why they left those states. And I remember during COVID, the absolute frustration that people had moving from Minnesota because of how they were being treated. You know, this is a guy that's out there. He's got this line in the stump speech saying, you know, our neighbors can do what they want. Mind your own damn business. Fine. Then why did you set up a snitch hotline for neighbors to report on their neighbors for violating your draconian COVID restrictions? That's not minding your own damn business. That's government overreach.
He's right. I mean, that's Governor Ron DeSantis. I mean, that's what Walz did. He set up a snitch line, an actual snitch line. I don't think anything makes me angrier about that, because I'm still mad over the whole lockdown thing. I'm still mad about it. I mean, Walz got the phone call. I mean, this was the actual phone call. When you would call the snitch line, you saw somebody like, oh, they weren't wearing their face panty. Oh, no, I saw them out of their house and they wasn't wearing their face panty. I better call that snitch line. And then you would pick up your phone and you would call Governor Tim Walz's snitch line. And you would dial the number to the snitch line and it would take you to this.
Hello, you have reached the Department of Public Safety stay-at-home hotline. The information you leave is considered public information. At the tone, please leave the following information. Your name, your callback number, how the stay-at-home order is being violated, and where the stay-at-home order was violated. Thank you.
It was violated at your mom. I can't. You know, we make fun. We like look at what's been happening in Britain, you know, where it's you see like a two-tier system of justice and people have been they've been in trouble. Like, for instance, there's a guy who was told he after he beat up an emergency worker, his name's Mustafa Al Madibab, and he was ordered to pay £2 a month for assaulting an emergency worker. He was let off with community service as he does not speak English. And then a guy named Stephen Mallon, he was jailed for 26 months because he gesticulated at the police. He gesticulated. I got my feels hurt because he made an X with his arms and thrust at me. I got my feels hurt. So it's happening over there. And then you got Walz over here making a snitch line. By the way, welcome back, everybody. Second hour, top of the second hour. Dana Lash with you. Discussion over at Rumble, where you can stream the show. Also, Channel 347, DirecTV. We're on X. Sign up at Substack, the newsletter, chapter and verse. So I saw this one pic real quick. This is killing me. Washington Post. I talked about this hat yesterday and how Realtree, I explained the licensing and how Realtree does not support Harry Walz. And Washington Post goes, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz just posted a photo of himself wearing the just released Harry Walz camo hat. In quotations. They're like, ooh, camo. It's a novelty. The sold-out back-ordered campaign merch, the send-up of... A what? It's a send-up of Minnesota governor's trademark Midwestern dad fashion, giving MAGA a run for its money. Whose grandma wrote this? Look, he's an old man wearing a hat. That must be some sinned up trademark Midwestern dad fashion. Can you get any more word salad in there, you damn dreaded Zoomer? It's a send up of the Minnesota governor's trademark Midwestern dad fashion. What? He's cosplaying. I mean, good grief. This is so stupid. That's all they have. That's all they have is the hat. So, I don't know, man. They're like, they're cosplaying as regular everyday people. This is what I think is so funny. Nobody can afford a damn thing, but they're selling $40 camo hats. Guys, show us that you're a Midwestern, show us your Midwestern dad fashion by purchasing in a time of great inflation where butter's like $8 and a dozen eggs are $7, a $40 Midwestern dad hat. It's just a ball cap. You dumbasses. Have they never seen a ball cap before? This old man puts a ball cap on his head and they're like, quick, how can we make this niche? It's Midwestern dad fashion. Have you ever been to the Midwest? The people writing about this, they never been to the Midwest. Oh my gosh. Can't deal with it. All right, so some of the other stuff. I got a lot to think. Ugh, got a lot here. First up, let's, because, you know, Biden's still in office, right? You guys know this, right? He's still there.
Is he?
Yeah, guys, he's doing the big stuff. He's focusing on some very important problems right now. Important problems that are roiling the nation. And that is plastic cutlery. In a bid to save the world, the Biden administration has announced a plan to target plastic cutlery across federal departments. They're taking aim at the climate crisis. It's an all-hands-on-deck response. So, China dumps, like, actual garbage and turds into the ocean. Nobody says anything to them. Chemicals, they make their lakes pink and toxic. They do all that. They don't care. And the United States is, well, I guess we should get rid of our plastic cutlery. That's going to save the world. That's the Biden administration's approach to this. You have to drink out of a straw that literally dissolves in your mouth and in your drink. So China can dump chemicals in the ocean.
Hurry up and drink it.
I know, by the way, sidebar, is that not the worst thing ever? When I get my cup and if there is a paper straw in it, I want to throw the whole cup. I want to throw it. It takes everything I have. I want to throw it. It makes me so, it's so, and there's dyes on that damn straw. Have you noticed? And it's always those stripy straws. That's dye. That's dye that's going in your drink because it's a stupid paper straw. Can't even make words. It makes me so angry. I have cornstarch straw. I would buy plastic, but they don't make them in these fun colors like this that I can get on Amazon. So it's just, I didn't mean to be good to the earth. I just don't, come on. I just
bought
it.
The cool thing about those is they eventually do dissolve, but I've left one in a drink just to see how long it would take for it to dissolve. And after like 2 or 3 days, it still was a straw.
Yeah, it's a straw.
So
I don't know why people don't do that. It was so easy for me to do. And they go for those fashion striped straws. I hate those stupid things. Because you know that's like toxic dye on those dumb things too. And it's all, you're drinking it, you're consuming it. It's so dumb. Anyway, so yeah, that's what he's doing. He's going to reduce the sale of single-use plastic products on public lands. Well, what are you supposed to eat with? If you go to like a museum or something, you go to their little sit-in cafeteria at a park on public land, you think they're going to be going out and buying something? No, it's you know what it's going to be like? What's that place? Medieval times. It's going to be like medieval times. And you got to go in there, just going to give you turkey leg. You're going to have to gnaw at everything with your hands. That's what they're going to do. Can I tell you a story about that, by the way? I legit just heard thunder right now.
And my
the hell
down.
Is going on in Texas? Are your windows down?
They are.
Look at us. We're like, Kane, do you need to go roll your windows up? So you've been in medieval times, right? That's like the castle where, you know, if you're by Medieval Times and you've never gone, there wasn't any in Missouri. So when we moved here to Texas, we went twice. You had to go. And I always, my husband was like, that's kind of bougie, Dana, because I brought literally plastic cutlery with me.
I've seen people do that.
Okay. My husband was like, why are you doing that? It's because we evolved and invented this stuff. That's why I'm doing it. Look at this. We don't eat with our feet and hands anymore because we evolved as a species. That's why I'm bringing it in.
I'm improving my chopstick skills.
I brought wet ones and everything. I'm like, I could sit here and just eat this stuff with my hands, scooping up some taters or whatever, but I ain't doing it, you know? I'm not going
to
do it.
Clean my hands off of my jeans.
Yeah, they're like, they basically send someone to lick your hands off.
With your napkins.
They don't do that, but yeah, it's just so bad. So I was just like, nope, I'm going to take care of my business because I came prepared. My husband could not believe, he looked at me and he was like, I'm watching you open like the equivalent of a Quick Mart here at Medieval Times. It's like, no. There's certain things that I don't do. And it's not because I'm being bougie or anything like that. Like, I love the outdoors and I love rocks. And I mean, it's like I got to eat dirt or something to like convince people that I love nature. I love nature. Whoopity-doo. It's great. I love being outdoors. But you know what? I also don't like pretending to be homeless. And that's why I don't camp. Because we, as humans, invented the house. And as a result, we stay in them. Right? Just like we, as humans, invented cutlery. And so I will use that. I am not going to throw away generations of achievements of our ancestors by saying, no, I don't want your house or your cutlery. I'm going to pretend to be without. I'm not doing that. I'm just not going to do it. Sorry.
Well, we invented tents first.
Yeah. But then we invented the house. Mm-hmm. It's like saying, let's go back to the Flintstone cars. Let's pretend for a little bit. Nope, that's okay. I'm good. I'm all right. Anyway, Biden.
Brontosaurus ribs, though.
Yeah. Well, he's going to solve all the world's problems because he's going to go after the plastic forks. Yeah, we'll fork you. It's not going to do anything. Not going to do nothing. I mean, basically, isn't it going to just raise costs on people? It's going to be like military bases and government workplaces. So instead of maybe, here's a thought. Instead of trying to reduce the use of plastic cutlery, maybe reduce the size of the federal government. What? That sounds like a great idea. You know, if you have fewer people in government, you have fewer people using the plastic cutlery. Oh, what? I know. Amazing, is it not? So that's what he's been focusing on. In case you wonder where Joe Biden was. Now, furthermore, we got a whole bunch of stuff to get. I mentioned earlier at the first hour, Nancy Pelosi and Biden, and how the Biden people, there are some Biden people that are making little chirps to the press saying that it was Nancy Pelosi that shoved him out. Pelosi said in an interview with The New Yorker, quote, I've never been that impressed with his political operation, talking about Biden. Ooh. So it sounds like there's a little bit of discord there. What a shame that would be if it blew up further. We got a lot more on the way. We got headlines coming up. Brett Thor will be joining us later. We got a lot of stuff to hit. Turbocharging your metabolism has never been simpler thanks to the innovative handheld metabolic coach Lumen. This revolutionary device empowers you to optimize your metabolism efficiently and effortlessly. And with Lumen, you can master the strategies to keep your metabolism humming at its best. Now, Lumen is a breath-based metabolic tracker. You breathe into the Lumen at the start of your day to get a metabolism snapshot and a personalized nutrition plan. And then the app tells you if you're burning fat or carbs. You can get customized tips for nutrition, workouts, sleep, stress. Lumen helps you to know with real data what your body needs. Now, your metabolism is your body's rocket engine. It powers everything that you do. And with Lumen, you can expect easier weight management, balanced energy, fitness gains, and find it easier to go to sleep. So if you want to take the next step in improving your health, visit lumen.me/Dana Show and get 15% off of your Lumen. That's Lumen. lumen.me/Dana Show. One word for 15% off your purchase. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. And thanks to Lumen for sponsoring this episode.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So, by the way, if you're watching the simulcast on the stream, we just lost power. There's a major storm rolling through Texas. So my Big Hoss generator just kicked in. So we're going to be back up and running here very shortly. So I just want to let y'all know that. All right. So first off, 12 F-22 fighters reportedly inbound. They land in the Middle East for force posturing against Iran. That's the CENTCOM. They confirmed that an unspecified number of F-22 Raptor stealth fighters have arrived in their area of responsibility. So that's going to be interesting to watch. That's one of the things you got to keep an eye on. It's not the vax, guys. I mean, the injections. No drink is safe. Studies show alcohol's linked to a growing list of cancers. Everything causes cancers. But you know what definitely does? I'm just going to say it could be the shot. Just saying. COVID fell to the 10th leading cause of death in the U.S. last year, down from 4th, because we should be learning about how viruses work, but we're not. The Pegasus is a revolutionary hybrid flying car. I don't want a hybrid flying car. It can travel on the highway and fly for up to 3 hours. I do not. I want gas and oil, something that I can measure and something that I know is going to work. I'm just going to say. But it uses an electric charge for ground travel and gas for flying. Authorities in Australia have already approved it. I am not excited about air travel like everybody in the air, because I've seen everyone try to drive and it's just kind of a nightmare. I just can't imagine how that's going to work. AI is basically just a homework cheating machine now. I feel like AI is going to make our students dumber. OpenAI has a tool to detect if something was written by ChatGPT, but it hasn't released it yet. And so now apparently, I mean, they've already been banning all kinds of stuff in classrooms. But they said that the most common use was creative writing and role play and all kinds of stuff. So if you have like a writing assignment, a lot of students have been using it for that. The state of Louisiana becomes the first to impose surgical castration on child rapists. Good job, Louisiana. Although they should be murdered entirely. Actually, it's not murdered. It's called justice. They should be killed entirely. It's the fourth place in the world with such punishment. So if you're not going to kill them, castrate them. I think that's a genius job. Hat tip to Louisiana for becoming the first state to impose surgical castration on child rapists. And they've done that. It includes rape, incest, and molestation. Obviously, it's an irreversible medical progress. The only other places you can do it, Czech Republic, Madagascar, and Nigeria. It's not like chemical castration. It's much more invasive. It's surgical. They take it all off. That's it. And if you commit a sexual offense against a child under 13 in Louisiana, you're a prime candidate for it. All right, we're going to try to get Brad Thor up. We had a little bit of a power outage, so just FYI. We're dealing with that. We'll be back up and running in minutes. Stick with us. ReadyWise, a great company. They've signed on to work with us. One of the reasons I like working with them so much, because their food is actually good. I mean, people think, oh, it's survival food, whatever. But I mean, it doesn't mean it shouldn't taste good, right? And it actually does. The other thing I like about ReadyWise, unlike a lot of these other companies out there, I know the chain of command from start to finish with everything that they make. So all of this is made with high quality U.S. ingredients, all their food. And it's packed and distributed from a U.S.-based plant. So from the beginning to the end, you know the chain of command for your food. U.S. ingredients, U.S. jobs, and it's the highest quality of ingredients as well. So they have two offers for you. You can use promo code DANA20 at checkout, and that gives you 20% off any regularly priced item. You can also get their buy one, get one of the 72-hour food kit. This is $100 value for $50. This includes two boxes, 12 pouches of premium survival food, entrees, all kinds of stuff, drinks, over 11,000 calories in each kit, and all of their food freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water, with a 25-year shelf life. So visit ReadyWise.com. Check out the buy one, get one of the 72-hour food kit. They always have free and fast shipping on their order, on most orders, making sure your stuff gets to you fast. And you can also use promo code DANA20 at checkout to get 20% off any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code DANA20 for 20% off.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized informative episodes, perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We had just like this awesome storm that rolled through. I always love it when I hear the thunder through our totally soundproof studio and my, ear pro and all that stuff. And I hear it And then the lights went out and it was like kind of spooky in a really awesome way. We wanted to roll with it, but you can't, you know, we're doing professional lady radio, guys. So Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of the second hour. Good to be with you. Today is National Book Lovers Day. Kane reminds me. Yep. I love books. I love holding them. I love the way the pages smell. I could never read off of an e-device. I could never do it. I have to hold the book in my hand. And I have a ton of books from this guy. I actually saw somebody and I was trying to take a picture of someone reading his book at the airport in Nassau. And it was Shadow of Doubt. It was his new book. And I was trying not to look like a stalker. And I wanted to take a photo of this guy reading Brad Thor's book. And my husband's like, what are you doing? Because I'm trying to be all surreptitious about it and just like hold it in a certain way. And it was not working. I mean, it was all blurry. So I was like, he's not going to think I'm lying. But our very good friend, Brad Thor, who is America's favorite author, master of thriller. He's got the best background and the best glasses. And he's just an all around good guy. I've known him for years. And he's a number one New York Times bestseller as well. Wall Street Journal bestselling author. Everybody loves him. And Brad Thor is joining us now via Skype. Good to see you, my friend. That is a true story, though. And it's weird. Like, what do you do if you are in, like, say you're in an airport and you see someone reading your book? Do you, like, go up to them? Like, what do you do?
I do go up to them. And I often ask, like, how's that book? And they're like, it's okay. Or I love it whatever. No, you know what? You get it. You get it all. And that's funny. Somebody might be like, oh, you know what? This was in my Airbnb and I grabbed it on my way out. And I'm normally a such and such reader and I'm reading this now and I love it or whatever. It's really funny. I love to play with people a little bit. I'm like, okay. Yeah. What do you love about it? What's good? So anyway, I do have a good time with that. And our old friend, Andrew Breitbart, used to actually take out his phone in airports and call me and hand the phone to some unsuspecting stranger.
That's what I should have done.
Thought he was nuts.
That's what I should have done.
Just been here. You want to talk to the author? Yeah.
We actually did that one time. You and I were at like a range day fundraiser. And I want to say this was like in Tennessee somewhere. And my cousin,
with Ted Nugent, was there. Yeah.
My cousin, who is a huge fan of you, just happened to like call or text or something while I was there. And I'm like, wait a minute, do you want to talk to Brad Thor? He could not believe it. At first, he was like, nuh-uh, Brad Thor is actually not there. I'm like, he legitimately is right here. Like, I'm not making this stuff up. These people are right here. And you talked to him, and that like made his life. That was so great. But I swear, I did see somebody in the airport reading, and I'm like, cool. I really want to go up to that person, but it was a really early morning. We had already been like, our flight had been canceled and all this stuff. So I was like, is it going to be good? I don't know. Anyway, but congrats on the new book.
You got a great
rollout video for this. And I know I ask you every time that you're on the program, is that because you do rollout videos for your awesome books now? Is that just because you're like a big time bestseller, or it's because you're doing some like, you know, programming with it too, like television, movies?
Well, a little bit. I mean, I can say this. We are very close to finding a home for the TV series now. So we were just able to release the names of the A-team working on this. We've got Chad Stahelski as our director, who directed all the John Wick movies. We've got Howard Gordon, the force behind 24 and Homeland, as our executive producer. And then we've got Steve Lightfoot, who wrote the Punisher series, did both seasons for Netflix, as our writer. So we are super stoked. And right now, our director is overseas filming the reboot of Highlander, that movie with Christophe Lambert and Sean Connery. So he's rebooting that, and then he comes back to the U.S., and then all the big meetings that all the streamers and cablers start this fall. So
that's amazing. Stoked. I've never been more jealous of a human than I am of you right now. That's actually pretty amazing. He's like, well, all the things
Hollywood
that you love, Dana, they're all working on this series right here.
It's still Hollywood. This thing could still crash and burn.
Don't say that, because I need something to watch. No.
I do too. Listen, I want this thing to go across the finish line. But if there's one thing I've learned about Hollywood, it's you don't know until it's on the screen. There's nothing that's definite. So we're excited. It's the best team we've ever assembled in two decades of trying to do this. So we're really pumped.
That's awesome. And his latest book, Shadow of Doubt, which you can get anywhere, it was released last week. I mean, it's, you know, also a bestseller as well. I was trying to count. And remember, this is what, the 22nd, 23rd book that you have in the series?
In the Harvest series, right.
Yes.
And I've said to you, and I'll say it one more time for your listeners, my books are like the James Bond movies. If the new Bond is in your local multiplex, go see it. It doesn't matter if you've ever seen a Bond movie before, and it's the same thing with my books. You can run right out and start with Shadow of Doubt. Doesn't matter if you've ever read a Brad Thor book before.
That's awesome. I mean, I love that you do that because you can weave them all together, but also they're standalones as well. It's very cool. Talking with our friend Brad Thor. So I got to ask you, because you're always inspired by real events for these books that you write. And I don't even know how everything playing out right now is going to inspire your next one. But I remember the last time we spoke, we were talking about people in the, I don't know if they were up in the Hindu Kush or where they were, but they were like some Indian fighters and some Russian fighters or whatever, Chinese fighters. Everybody was fighting up in the mountains, shoving each other off. Are you going to turn into The Simpsons where you're going to start like, you know, foretelling events in the future? Like what? I'm just curious as to how this works.
Well, it's so funny because the new one, Shadow of Doubt, Scott Harvath has got his fiance. Scott's the CIA's most lethal weapon. He fell in love with a woman who works for Norwegian intelligence. And in this book, the Norwegians get a hold of a high-level Russian defector. And the U.S. is afraid that this defector has information we desperately need. So they say to Harvath, listen, your fiance is doing the debrief on this guy. We need you to ask her some questions. And he says, absolutely not. I have never said no to a mission. I'm a patriot. I love my country. I draw the line at that. And they blackmail him into service. And that kicks off the book. And it was funny because my thriller, Black Ice, which was all set in Norway a few summers ago, it became kind of this book that was passed around the Norwegian government. And I got invited to dinner in D.C. at the Norwegian ambassador's house.
Wow.
And I told her, she's like, well, what's Shadow of Doubt about? And I said, it's this story about the CIA blackmails this American guy into spying against his Norwegian spy wife, fiance. And the ambassador's like, oh, no, we'd never withhold information from the U.S. We're your ally. And I said, of course, it's fiction, but you're going to love the book.
That's what they would say. People who would, that's what a country should say. No, we would never withhold information. But also at the same time, I kind of would question a country that wouldn't as a way to gain leverage just for its own, assurances.
Well, the cool thing about the Norwegians, and I didn't know this for a long time, I didn't know we hide a ton of U.S. military equipment in caves in northern Norway. And I thought that was so cool about our partnership with the Norwegians, that we not only store all this stuff there, but the Norwegians maintain it for us. So if we go to war someplace, the Middle East or something like that, we can get the stuff out of the caves in Norway. We don't have to wait to load stuff on ships and planes in the U.S. We can start moving it out of Norway, which is really, really cool. They're great partners. And so this book is a lot of fun in that Harvath and his fiance both don't trust their own governments. And so they have to work together to get to the bottom of what's about to explode in Western Europe and in the United States.
I feel like you've been to the caves then, as a part of your fact finding, for the purpose of the book. I mean, that's just, right. See, I wouldn't, he totally has. You wouldn't tell, it's okay if you don't have to tell me, that's okay. We know you did. We know you were over there in those Norwegian caves. That's all right. Actually, that's really cool because, I think it's a testament to the interesting relationship that we have with Norway as well, and particularly with Russia. So with the latest with Iran, talk a little bit about this because, obviously you're a political dude. Everybody knows your background, and if people aren't familiar with Brad's background, he was in Department of Homeland Security's analytic red cell unit. He's spoken to law enforcement organizations, all kinds of stuff. I mean, he knows his stuff. But I'm curious with the state of things. We're getting ready to go into we're in a weird position because it's a very weird political cycle. I didn't think I'd say that again, but here we are. And we've got really weak foreign policy right now. And I feel like every tyrant in the world, everyone's just sort of holding their breath, waiting to see what happens in November. And if anybody were going to take the opportunity to act and do anything, it would be like October or November when everything is like at its at peak disarray. Not to freak everybody out, but I just kind of wanted to get your educated take on that.
Yeah, so you're correct. There's a lot of ability for bad actors, particularly Iran, vis-a-vis Israel, to make problems leading up to the election. Now, if power changes hands, if we've got a Trump administration coming in and Harris doesn't win, that period from November to January is also going to be another dangerous period because it's the last window for any bad guys that don't want to run afoul of a Trump administration to achieve whatever they want to achieve. So we're in two very dangerous time periods, right? It's 3 months now until the election, and then it's from the election. If if Trump wins, to Trump's inauguration, where we could have a whole other set of problems. So this is really a time where we have to be on our toes and paying attention to what's going on around the world. But I, like you, am very concerned about Iran, and Iran pushing the advantage now, maybe in hopes of really getting kind of the hard left wing, the progressives, up in arms once again about Israel and Palestine and that kind of stuff, to maybe attempt to influence the election. So we'll see what happens.
Has it shocked you to see how pervasive that sentiment is across the United States? Because I know everyone was focusing on, oh, let's look at the riots or and the protests that have been happening on college campuses, but it's beyond college campuses. I mean, everyone was saying that one of the reasons that Josh Shapiro, governor of Pennsylvania, wasn't added to the ticket was because of his faith. And when you hear some of the comments of some of these lawmakers, it's like, well, it doesn't sound like that was far off the mark. With that.
Well, it really is hard to parse that stuff out. I mean, obviously, Shapiro has got his positions. What I saw this morning that blew me away, actually, I was very, very impressed, because I did not expect to hear these words come out of somebody on the Democratic side, is James Meeks was on CNN this morning. And he said, as they were talking about what should be done about Palestine and Israel, he said, let's make one thing very clear. Hamas started this, and Hamas is not an equal party to Israel, nor does Hamas deserve to be treated like an equal party to Israel. We can talk about the Palestinian people, what should happen in Palestine, but the one thing we do not want to do is draw any equivalency between the state of Israel and the terrorist organization that is Hamas. I was blown away. I thought I was hearing somebody from the Freedom Caucus speaking, wow. Somebody from the right side of the aisle. So to hear that coming from James Meeks, you know, I like to give credit where credit is due, and I also like to applaud people, I think, have a good, sensible foreign policy position. And that's definitely one I've got to throw to the Democrats and Meeks. I thought he did a great job with that. But
yeah.
We are definitely, yeah, I don't want to see we're out of school too, right? What happens when all these kids start going back to school now? Because we're getting to mid-August. And are we going to start to see an uptick in protests again? I hope not. I don't want any influence on either side or from anywhere else. I want people to be able to hear the issues and make good, informed opinions without fires burning and nonsense like that across the country.
I completely agree with you. Brad Thor, the new book, Shadow of Doubt, the 23rd in the Scott Harbeth series, 23. But and I know you're probably going to have like 23 more books. I am so excited, by the way, for this to come out, because I actually, you know, some of the people that we have on the show, I'm not able to read everything, but my stepdad was reading your stuff. My cousin was reading your stuff. I like your character development, and I love how quick it is, because I feel like some thrillers, you get really bogged down in the details and it kind of drags. And I don't feel like yours do that. They're very entertaining. I am so not even halfway through 23 books, though. I'm not even going to lie. But I love how you tell a story. They're incredibly compelling. And I am fascinated to see how this plays out on screen, especially now knowing the people that you've got working with it, because that's going to be a whole other animal.
It's going to be fun. And I want to extend an invitation right now. I would love, when we do the premiere, for you and Chris to be there with us.
Oh, I would
love
it. I think
that'd be fantastic to have you guys there.
I would love it. I'm in.
Putting it out in the universe. We're going to get this done. And then we'll have a great time together. We'll go out to dinner, and then we'll go to the premiere, and we'll have a big celebration afterwards.
That sounds fantastic. We are all in.
Awesome.
Brad Thor, you can go and find him at bradthor.com. You can also find him on X, social media, everywhere else. But his new book, Shadow of Doubt. Brad, always so good to see you, my friend. Take care.
You too,
Thanks
David.
For the time.
Bye.
We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this second hour of our broadcast, and we'll be rolling into Days of These United States. Sometimes I can't, and I have friends who live and work in parts of the country where they absolutely cannot carry. And so this is where it's good to have other options for those instances, and the Byrna gun is one of those options. It's BYRNA. It's a non-firearm firearm. Doesn't give a rat's backside about your gun-free zone signs. Doesn't care. There's no waiting period, no background check. It's legal in all 50 states. Their most popular model, the Byrna SD, shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. And you can choose different models, different colors. There's different projectiles, everything. And it's always good to have diverse options when the situation may call for one. So to learn more about Byrna, visit Byrna.com/Dana. Get 10% off your purchase. Check out your options at Byrna.com, BYRNA/Dana for 10% off.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I gotta go to the fish one first. A Florida man legit stole a large fish from a sporting goods store, say police. Police in Florida Lee County Sheriff's Office, a man entered a Bass Pro in Fort Myers and literally scooped up a fish in a net and then ran out of the store.
He's hungry.
And he's on camera doing it. How in the world? He just walks in and then runs out with this fish. Scoops up the fish and walks out with it. That's crazy. And police were looking for they're working with the Animal Cruelty Task Force to locate the suspect. How do you flee the store with a fish in a net?
I know.
I'm curious.
Quickly.
Yeah. They got it. Because like back in 2020, didn't somebody jump in a tank?
Yes.
At a Bass Pro?
Yes.
I feel like Bass Pro now needs to be on the lookout for weirdos trying to do stuff to their tanks. That's kind of, how do you let a guy get away? It's Bass Pro, right? How do you let a guy get away with a fish in a net from Bass Pro?
There's other fish in the sea.
Oh, stop it. Oh, man. I mean, I'd be like, no, sir. I just couldn't do it. Like, put the fish back. I don't know. I don't know. Let's see. This. So I told you the other day about a guy who made a man cave out of shipping containers. So they've been, county's been trying to get him to tear it down. Brevard County. It's a Indian Atlantic homeowner who built a man cave in his backyard with shipping containers. And that already sounded like it was going to be problematic just from the headline alone. They had a judge rule in favor of the county. The guy's name's Joe Troska. They said his stacked containers broke code. At first, they were saying there was a safety issue. And then they said, okay, now you fix that. Well, you got to make the exterior look nice so it doesn't look like a bunch of stacked shipping containers like that everybody can see from their backyard. So he said he got $2,000 to get this permit to have them. The county said it granted to him by mistake. That's still not his problem. I mean, if the county granted it to you and it's like a mistake, that's not anybody else's problem. So as it is, they're still fighting it out. But he's like, they are accusing him of deviating from the plan. But he really didn't, though. I mean, everything that he's doing with it was to what was permitted. So, and the neighbors say it's a monstrosity. Well, the county should have messed up. Stick with us. We got a third hour on the way. Hey, dudes, listen up. I have a gift idea that could truly impress the lady in your life and transform your home into a much needed sanctuary, all with the luxurious comfort of Cozy Earth. It's called Cozy Earth. She'll be impressed. And Cozy Earth uses only the finest fabrics and textiles, making their products super soft and comfortable. So, for example, you could give the gift of comfort and support with Cozy Earth's durable weave bedsheet fabric that keeps your bedsheet smooth and luxurious for years. And you can say goodbye to pilling also. With a 10-year guarantee, these sheets are super comfortable. It's a long-lasting investment. And ladies, you don't have to wait for somebody to get this for you. You can create your own comfort and sanctuary with Cozy Earth. Best-selling bamboo sheet set made from 100% premium viscose. It's very luxurious. So we just got our sheets. That's their California king size. And they had our color, which was Harbor Mist. That's the one I picked out. So I love the selection. I love how easy it is to navigate their website and find what you want. So if you want to make every bedroom a sanctuary, do it with Cozy Earth. Breathable, ultra soft, and even softer with every wash. Try them risk-free today for 100 nights and love them or get a full refund. And that's one of the best money-back guarantees in the business. So your bed's calling and answer with the ultimate in comfort and get up to 40% off only at cozyearth.com/Dana using code Dana. And don't forget, tell them I sent you in the post-purchase survey and you can get some free socks. That's cozyearth.com/Dana and use code Dana to get up to 40% off. This is that body camera footage. Butler County, Pennsylvania, right after the cop that you see came across the killer on the top of that AGR building. Now, everybody is, it just amazes me that it took so
long. Get close, bro. Dude, he turned around on me. He's straight up.
Okay, we have two civilians attending to him.
I don't know. Who's got eyes on him?
Back up.
Seriously, he was right where you picked me up, bro.
He was on that left side.
Take police off. I need police off. A lady's been shot in the stairs, the four stairs. I need an ambulance for the pack on the corner.
Get them out of here! Get them out! Yo, Blasco! Yo, you about to hop up? He's laying down.
I love the
next building over.
The bad.
Right after the gas. He's got glasses, long hair. I need a ladder. She's gonna hold.
So this is some of the latest.
Yo, Mike.
This is the new body cam footage. We're gonna let this go. And you can keep that because he's talking about what he saw at the top. That's the cop who first saw the guy at the top.
He's laying down, burned out, book bag next to him.
Give me a f***ing hard line.
And they're trying to figure out.
But watch out, because he can come right down on you over there.
Oh, this is going to drop. Hold. Keep eyes on. Give me a ladder. No, eyes up.
Bruh.
I mean, I got questions. So the guy had already opened fire. The video starts with the guy jumping up on the roof, seeing the guy, and then like falling off.
This building, he was on top of this building, the left one. I jumped up.
This is a very serious.
Left side, the first one. That one, laying down. There's a gap in between you and there.
There is also in this, so this is some of the body cam footage, and I'm just going to let this play out because this is in Butler County, Pennsylvania. And this is just minutes after this guy had opened fire. Now, my understanding is at this time, too, that you're watching, the Secret Service counter snipers had already taken this guy out. And these guys are still, I guess, they're figuring out everybody. I guess they're trying to figure out what the situation is. Is it contained? Is the threat nullified at this point? And they get up. And this was the, as you can see on the screen on the simulcast, there's a space between two buildings, but there's also a way to climb up in between both of them. And that's where the guy who's wearing the camera, he was the guy who had jumped up. The first, like I think like a minute, whatever, of his footage didn't have audio. And then later, as he was getting his gun, that's when the audio picks up. So he's getting ready to go back up on the roof. This is where he went the first time. And then he raised the alarm because he got up there. And that's when he saw the killer on the rooftop. So he gets back up on this same rooftop. And then he goes and then he meets, because they already had the other guys get up there. This is Secret Service had already taken him out at that point. Welcome back to the program. Top of this third hour, Dana Lash with you. There is also, it's from the law enforcement, it's from their radios. And one of the law enforcement officers is complaining in it. And he's complaining because he says that he had told Secret Service earlier in the week to post up somebody on that rooftop. Listen to this. It's just short audio, but it's the audio of one of these. It's the Butler PD, Butler County PD, that is apparently on the radio. They were telling these guys, this is audio summit 14. They were telling them, you know, I told them like a week ago, you can hear how angry, listen to this. You can hear how angry he is.
I f***ing told them they need to post the guys f***ing over here. I told them that the Secret Service. I told them that f***ing Tuesday. I told them to post f***ing guys over here.
Told him Tuesday. That rally was on Saturday. They said it, he said he told him Tuesday to have guys on that rooftop. This is wild. It's also wild to me that it's not being more widely discussed. I mean, you had a former president, might be next president, who was shot at. This is crazy. Just he was shot at. And so I don't know. It's just absolutely wild to me with all of this. And I mean, there's a lot of this stuff. And I think you have some other ones. There was another body cam footage and people were asking about Eyes on the Water Tower to Trump. There's a lot of footage. If you go on Substack, by the way, this is why you need to subscribe to Substack, Chapter and Verse, my newsletter. Lorraine has a huge piece and it has all of the video up there because there's several different body cam footage, you know, that we have and that she's got up there. So you have several different perspectives. Like someone else said, like, don't pull your head up. He's right here. And it's showing the initial police response to all of this. And now, you know where everybody was when all of this happened. They said that at 4:30 p.m., and she has this in her piece, one of the snipers, the local sniper, left the AGR building after a shift change and spotted the killer at a picnic table, texted his team to warn them that the guy was suspicious and likely now knew where they were because he was trying to get a gain as to where these guys were. Then he was next spotted on the ground lurking around that AGR building like 40 minutes later. And then they had photos of him. They had the local county. The sniper texted photos of him to his dispatch, try to keep an eye on him. And then at that point, and so this is after 4:30, it's like between 4:30 and 5:30. That's when the communications just apparently entirely broke down. And they had their local, as Lorraine noted in this piece over at Chapter and Verse, local PD had their headquarters in one spot. County was in another. State was in another. Secret Service was in another. And nobody apparently could talk. They said at 5:47, local dispatch was trying to reach his state PD contact. And he was advised that cell phone service was down. So apparently PD was like by themselves to deal with it. They were saying that it's just wild how this was. They said that PD was still searching for this dude on the ground behind the AGR building at 6:08 p.m. at the exact moment. So that's why all those guys were around the building, because they were looking for him on the ground. They did not know that he was on the building. And so Copenhaver, this is the guy whose video you saw, his body cam footage. That's when he sees him and he tries to go and ascertain what's happening. He said at 6:11, local PD officer radios his dispatch that the dude was on the roof with the gun. Dispatch uses his cell phone to call state PD to contact to get a word to Secret Service so they can notify them, the Secret Service counter snipers. And then while they were on that whole Rube Goldberg, communication, whatever, that's when shots rang out. When you have seconds, They had no way to actually effectively fast communication. They had to use their phone to call state PD. State PD had to get a hold of Secret Service. Secret Service had to notify the counter snipers. And then while all that was happening, shots rang out. And one of the SWAT officers from local Butler County, one of their SWAT, said that he was on the ground. He said that he never saw the killer, just the muzzle flash is what he saw. And there was a worker who told Washington Post that while everyone else was scrambling and running, that the SWAT officer stood firm, aimed, and fired. And that's when that guy flinched and stopped shooting and ducked. So, I mean, it was, this is wild. And then he popped his head up a few seconds later. And that's when the counter sniper got his opening. So he stopped. I think he probably would have shot and killed more people. He was shooting. And when the local SWAT just was super chill and fired back, that's when the guy stopped shooting, ducked for cover. And then when he popped back up, that's when the counter snipers had their opening and they took him out. This is wild. There's this, play a little bit of this other video, because there was, I want to caution people too, that in situations like this, you are in fog of war. There's a lot of stuff happening. You're trying to figure out what's going on. And a lot of things can be confusing. And especially the acoustics of a place. It can be very, very misleading. You might think that you hear something in one area, but depending on what the acoustics of the area are, it may sound like it comes from somewhere else. I'm just throwing that out there. But this was Beaver County Emergency Service Unit. And Chuck Grassley got this information. This was got this video.
And then the last half is a slow motion of what we see in the first half. So go ahead.
Okay. Now play this.
I mean, you have eyes on the water tower. Correct. The CR units will have eyes on the water tower until we can get out.
Now they're playing it in slow mo. And it's a guy on the rooftop. He's looking.
That trajectory from the water tower is concerning.
They, but I also think too, without diving into speculation, they might be thinking, and this is my first thought when looking at this, not that is there a threat up there, and they could be thinking that, but they also could be thinking that isn't manned either. Is there anybody up there too? Because they didn't have anybody up on, they didn't have anybody posted the AGR rooftop. So apparently, I'm thinking that they didn't have anybody posted to that water tower either. What in the world? That's my first thought in seeing that. So not that they thought somebody might have been up there taking shots necessarily, although hell, they couldn't be sure at the time. And I don't think that if anyone was up there and they got down, because there were so many people on the ground at that point, I don't think that they would have been able. There's no way. But the fact that they were like, oh, do we have eyes up there too? You should have eyes on it. Like, they should physically be on it. That kind of worries me. This is just, I mean, it's just unbelievable breakdown. And it just shocks me. We got a lot more to come as well. But you should go and check out this piece over at Substack. All the video is up there on it. We got more to come as we roll towards, golly, we're already at the bottom of this third hour.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So a quick note, in talking about, and again, you can go to Substack and see all of this. James Copenhaver is 74. He was one of the victims of the killer there in Butler County, Pennsylvania. The body cam footage is from one of the local PD, although there's a ton of different footage. But there's several different videos that you can go and see all from different perspectives there. It's all on my Substack, chapter and verse. All right, so for headlines, more than half of Americans are buying food online. They order groceries online for delivery. So this hasn't stopped with the end of COVID and the lockdown and all of that. So between July 23rd, I didn't know it was this high, and July 2024, 53% of people said they had ordered items to their house like this for grocery delivery. And they said that it's gotten more and more popular. And they said that the most popular category of food ordered online, this tracks snacks and candy. Snacks and candy. Are you serious? Oh my gosh. I can't even. There's footage of this, and I have this as we are looking at this Boeing 737 thing, but there's video of an aircraft. It's a 14-year-old, ATR 72500. It was a flight in Brazil. It was bound for Sao Paulo, and it apparently, something happened, and it fell out of the sky, this jet. I've never seen a plane fall out of the sky like this. It's a passenger plane. It went into this out of control death spiral. So it just stopped going. It just started spinning. It was loaded with at least dozens of passengers. The footage was shared by Brazil's media. It crashed into the ground, a huge fireball. That's just horrific. And then you have another Boeing blowout. Flight attendants thought passengers had been sucked out of a plane. Somebody said there was a hole in the plane, and I'm sure we've lost passengers. And it happened on a Boeing 737, and their U.S. TSA was looking into it. It was apparently taking off from Portland. Stay with us. We got more in store next. Turbocharging your metabolism has never been simpler thanks to the innovative handheld metabolic coach Lumen. This revolutionary device empowers you to optimize your metabolism efficiently and effortlessly. And with Lumen, you can master the strategies to keep your metabolism humming at its best. Now, Lumen is a breath-based metabolic tracker. You breathe into the Lumen at the start of your day to get a metabolism snapshot and a personalized nutrition plan. And then the app tells you if you're burning fat or carbs. You can get customized tips for nutrition, workouts, sleep, stress. Lumen helps you to know with real data what your body needs. Now, your metabolism is your body's rocket engine. It powers everything that you do. And with Lumen, you can expect easier weight management, balanced energy, fitness gains, and find it easier to go to sleep. So if you want to take the next step in improving your health, visit lumen.me/Dana Show and get 15% off of your Lumen. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. One word for 15% off your purchase. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. And thanks to Lumen for sponsoring this episode.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of The Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
It matters a lot. Local schools, feeding and educating children. It matters.
Okay.
Cultural centers, celebrating Latino history and Latino culture, which everybody ought to start learning more about. By the way, parenthetically, you know that 28 out of every high school student is Latino. We better start figuring it out.
That's right.
And the health of
28 out of every high school student. 28?
Out of every high school student?
28 out of all of the high school students, 28 of them.
Wow.
Is Latino. 28 is Latino of the students.
Seems like it's undershooting the number.
You got to figure out that out. The 28 of it, it is Latino. Welcome back to the program. That's potatoes.
Yeah.
Who's speaking there?
Yeah.
At the White House. This is yesterday evening after we were off air. He's there. And he's probably already back in Delaware, hooked up to some machine. Oh my gosh. I don't know what's worse. Him or her, all of it's bad. Nothing's good. Oh, and then here's the other thing. Audio. First of all, welcome back. Bottom of this third hour. Gavin Newsom, Audio Sunbite 23. The smarminess. First off, Gavin Newsom decided he was going to tell all the media that he was going to go clean up the homeless stuff. So he went up there sweeping all these people's stuff up. And then he's bemoaning the leadership and tackling homelessness. Listen to this. He's talking to the media about this.
Satisfied with what cities and counties are doing, because a place like LA City,
he's
LA County, kind
Western
of pushing
dad
back
hat.
On what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, cities, I've been pretty impressed. Counties, no. Counties have been, you know, it's a diffuse nature of leadership in a county. You have multiple members of boards of supervisors, mayor, there's one person accountable. I think Mayor Bass has done a wonderful job. She's been a great partner. You're seeing that down 10.4%, over 10% decline in unsheltered homeless population last year. So that's progress, but I'm not seeing that at the county level. And with all due respect, there's no more excuses. Everything the cities and counties have asked for, the state of California has delivered, and the Supreme Court just delivered. So there's no more excuses. So where's the urgency? Drop everything else. Get out there and address the number one, two, and three issue in the state with an intensity of purpose. That's the kind of action I want to see. And again, for
what gets me
if
is
we don't see it, it's not
when Bass, LA mayor, when she was out there going after reporters who asked her, remember they had that under the freeway, they had the fire that started. And when people were asking her, was it the homeless people in the encampments that started the fire? And she like went at them publicly. She lost it over them. Now he's like defending her. They absolutely, when that fire happened, they refused to acknowledge that it was the homeless encampment under that overpass that kicked that off. That was a huge thing. And she had also said, and there was a piece that Citizen Free Press had, she had promised to walk back the city's decision to break up homeless camps. So where is the consistency on this? Maybe he was just down there doing it because the communist Chinese leader was coming to visit again. Maybe. He's running for 2028, though. That's what he's doing. Make no mistake. He is running for 2028. He wants to simultaneously own the progressive record of California for the base while simultaneously putting distance between him and his progressive record in California for the moderates and in the independents. He is preparing for 2028. You are going to see a lot of him in the next 4 years because he is going to run in 28. I guarantee you that you can bank on. He's running in 2028. Probably so will Andy Beshear. Probably so is Josh Shapiro. And they don't really have a bench over on the Democrat side. That's it. Really, you're going to have Big Gretch. She's not going to go anywhere. But that's fascinating. So he's running. That's what all of that is. He's running, and there's, so smarmy. I wanted to get a couple of other things too. This story I didn't get to yesterday, but I'm going to touch on it today. This story had to do with this teacher that got the absolute, she just almost lost her life. She was beaten almost to death by this 6'6" giant dude. He was 17 at the time, Brendan Deppa. She had told him he needed to put his game away. He had like a Nintendo Switch, and she took it from him, and he attacked her on video, and just tore her ear. He just about beat her to death. He knocked her unconscious, and then he jumped on her and punched her back in the back of the head repeatedly. Punched her. He knocked her out. She landed face first on the floor, and he jumped on her and just started beating her head in from the back. And finally, somebody got him off of her, but she had to go to the hospital. She had internal injuries. It's affected her cognitive function. She had 5 broken ribs. She had a busted eardrum, loss of hearing, a concussion. Excuse me. She had gashes on her face. One of her eyes was busted. It was totally bloodshot. A dent in her nose. Her ear was torn. It was crazy. She had taken his switch away. And he started screaming at her and called her the B word and a WH word and then spat at her. And she walked out into the hallway and he ran out after her, rammed into her. And when she hit the ground, it just knocked her out and her head bounced and she was out. And that she was completely limp, but he didn't stop. That's when he jumped on her and just beat her to death. And she lost her job. She couldn't work. The attorneys, because he was an adopted kid and his mom was trying to say, oh, he's on the autism spectrum, so he doesn't know. This is such, first off, how dare you diminish people who are on the spectrum and act like people are somehow incapable of controlling emotions or being dealt with. And if someone is so unstable, regardless of whatever might be attributing to it, and if they are that unstable, that because they said everything was a trigger to this dude, video games, what do they say? Everything was a trigger to him. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't correct him. You can't correct him in front of other people. You cannot criticize him. That doesn't sound like a trigger. That sounds like he's up and you can't, and he wasn't raised right. He was adopted and his adoptive mother raised him from when he was very young. And he was a problem in class. And apparently they spent a lot of time on him over the other kids because he was so just disruptive. And so his attorneys tried to say, oh, well, the teacher could not address his unique needs. Well, he sounded also like he's an SOB and that everyone tried to placate him and use other factors as an excuse for their laziness to actually correct his behavior. And it's not her job to fix bad parenting. It is not a teacher's job to fix bad parenting. And it is unfair to a teacher to expect for them to offset what parents are not doing at home, bad parenting. And it's unfair to all the other kids in the class. And the victim wanted him to be 30 years. She wanted the maximum 30 years in prison. Because he apparently had a long history of violent behavior and disruptiveness. And the judge said, well, because it wasn't an isolated incident, the attack, it wasn't isolated, etc. So he only got 5 years, though. Students like him, you cannot put in a public school and ingratiate with the rest of the student body. It's impossible. And it's ignorant to the rest of the student body for this. And maybe that hurts people's feelings, but we're not here to tickle the jimmies of the everybody on the periphery at the expense of disrupting an entire school. And now this woman, I mean, it's lucky that she wasn't killed. She is permanently disabled. She lost everything. And the adoptive mother sounds like part of the problem. She said that her son was only sent to prison, and she's lucky he got 5 years. He was only punished for being black. I am not kidding you. That is what that B said. She said the only reason, and just so, she's a white woman with blonde hair. She's part of the problem. She said that the only reason he was, not because he jumped on her, on the teacher, and beat the teacher near death, and has attacked other people, and has a history of violent, very violent behavior. It's because he was black. That's why he was targeted. Meanwhile, this woman is struggling now to pay her bills. I mean, she lost her life. She still has trouble speaking. I mean, he like just beat her about to death. Yeah, this is all the stuff that the mom said was a trigger. This is her verbatim response. Electronics is a trigger. Being told no is a trigger. And being corrected in front of other people is a trigger. But electronics is the big trigger. Kane.
Good luck getting away from electronics.
Yeah. I mean, this is not, and then the mom tried to say, oh, it's because he's autistic. And that's what, we have family members who have autism. I have friends who have autism. I work with people who have autism. That is entirely different from what is happening here. And first off, what a horrible slur that is on people with autism. That is not what autism is. And this guy's just violent. And apparently, according to the people who know him, he has never, like his adoptive mother, from what all these reports say, and there's like a ton of stories about this, it sounds like she could not parent, didn't know how to parent, didn't want to be the bad mom, and then used his, like whenever he acted out, oh, that's because he's autistic, so you have to let it slide because he's autistic. That's bad parenting, and that's him, he's just a jackass. That's what it is. I feel so sorry for this lady. She actually has trouble speaking. She's lost hearing. She's deaf in one ear now. She has trouble speaking. Her face is permanently disfigured. She walks with a limp, apparently, because he was beating her right in the back of her head. He hit her so hard, he tore one of her ears, like, off her head. That's insane. That is crazy. So it's not good for the student body to have someone who's violent like this. That's dangerous. Now, one other thing. I don't know if you guys saw this. Did you guys see, this was Bread and Circuses. So I've never been to Paris. There's a very fancy hotel in Paris that is called the Peninsula Hotel, and they have like a rooftop hotel. One of the things that I've noticed, restaurants are different in Europe in that they don't turn over tables like US restaurants turn over tables. U.S. restaurants turn over tables really quickly. And all throughout college, I was a server. And you were encouraged to, you know, to get everything out, get everything going, because you got to turn over tables. In Europe, it is so not like that. It's like an event. You go, and you, especially if you're with a group of people, it's like an all-evening dinner. Like, you eat slow, you drink, you enjoy each other's company. They don't turn over tables like that. And it also kind of makes it really difficult, especially if you book last minute, because if you go to a nice restaurant, you want to get a reservation, it kind of makes it really hard to get a reservation if you book last minute. So this is the Peninsula at a 5-star hotel in Paris where the Olympics are. Serena Williams comes in and she wants to book. She wants to go to this rooftop restaurant, and they told her that she couldn't. She goes on Twitter and goes, yikes. She calls him out on Twitter. She goes, I've been denied rooftop access to eat in an empty restaurant of nicer places, but never with my kids. Always a first. And she acted like they just turned her away. The restaurant was very nice, and they said, we would love to host you again. We were fully booked. And that's the thing. Was she supposed to kick out another patron because she's special? Because she's famous? Was she entitled to take someone else's reservation and eat there that night and make them give up? They booked in advance and she didn't, but yet it's not her problem? That is some serious privilege. That is some serious privilege to expect everyone else, because you didn't have the forethought to plan ahead, to make other people suffer the consequences of your lack of planning. And then like an ass, you go on social media and try to berate the restaurant because you were ill prepared. Everyone's like, well, they should have made room. If she's so damn famous, she should have had the staff call in way in advance when she knew she was going to be in Paris and make their reservation. We're not doing this entitled stuff. And a lot of these places, when they have reservations, when they're booked, it might look like an empty table for a half hour. Someone's going to be there and they're going to be at that table all night. That's just their dinner culture. Good grief. The entitlement. That's privilege. We have more on the way as we roll towards the conclusion of this third hour. Kel-Tec, great company, Florida born and bred. And their P15, I don't know if you are familiar with it. It's an awesome 9mm striker fire pistol. It comes in polymer and metal. The metal frame version has the awesome wood panel texture grips. I mean, I like the polymer one too, but the wood paneled grips that they got on the metal frame is just so James Bond. I mean, it's like the wood that you would see inside of Rolls. It's fancy. It's a fancy 9mm. It's the P15 from Kel-Tec. And it's a fully adjustable fiber optic 2-dot rear. You have the tritium fiber optic front sight, striker fire reliability, great trigger pull. It's compact. I mean, it's from the people who literally invented the micro compact pistol category. And they just continue their mission at Kel-Tec of a game-changing innovation and performance with this new P15. Concealable, dependable firepower. Everything quality made right here in the U.S. of A. So check out KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Take the P15 to the range. Try it today. KeltecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Now, I happen to be and understand a little about China and lived in China and speak Chinese.
Make some
I'm pretty friendly with China.
Yeah, he's like, I'm pretty friendly with China. Yeah, you are, you absolute state agent. Yeah, we know you are. That's Tim Walz, by the way. We got more of him. What is it? How many times is he going to tell people to mind their own damn business? Audio soundbite 6. This is him saying again, mind your ODB, except, you know, for snitch lines.
You know how things work really well in life and really well with your neighbors and really well in communities? When you mind your own damn business, things work better.
Except when you make snitch lines, right? Right? Isn't 5 new too? How many times is he going to say this? He literally created a snitch line. What? Audio soundbite 5. What's the world?
Now, look, we're pretty neighborly with Wisconsin. We get our friendly battles. But in Minnesota, just like in Wisconsin, we respect our neighbors and the personal choices they make. Even if we wouldn't make the same choices for ourselves.
No, you don't.
Because we know there's a golden rule. Mind your own damn business.
Wow, he really focused with that. He really did. All right, I know we're running low on time. Real fast. Kane, today in stupidity.
All right, it'll have to be Nancy Pelosi won. This is cut 16. This is how dumb the Democrats think you are.
Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by all rights. We think she should have been president, but she didn't win the Electoral College. So it's harder. I think that Kamala Harris should win Bernie because Sanders she's the best.
Won. She's the best.
She'll be a great president. She happens to be a woman.
Right.
Oh. And that's icing on the cake.
Is it icing?
Is it?
On the cake?
By the way, it should have been Bernie Sanders. He was the one who actually won the primary.
Is that the cake they're going to let us eat?
Yeah, that's the icing? Cake that it's not her, but it's not going to be her like super fancy like ice cream cake. It's not going to be like that. Folks, that does it for us today. Make sure you sign up over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. The newsletter, lots of good stuff comes out there. Make sure you like and subscribe on Facebook and YouTube. Have a great weekend. I'll be back with you on Monday.